On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Jake Volnick with you guys here on Overtime. Getting ready to talk to Dan Lobby coming up in just a few moments. We talked the Shador number change. I think there's just some odds and ends questions too to ask. Rookie minicamp right around the corner as we're getting ready to get into that this weekend. I think there's fair questions to be asked around that as well in the construction of this team. So let's waste no time. Let's go out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He covers your Browns for Cleveland.com, and his name is Dan Lobby, and he joins us now. What's going on, Dan?
Hey, how are you doing?
We're doing good. I would say some interesting things coming out today. I don't know how much talk I've ever done on a rookie, especially late in a draft and in his number, but that's the conversation being had today. As you look at it right now, and we look at Shador with the number two pick, or with the number two on the jersey and going for number 12. It definitely was not drafted number two. That was a much different conversation. But getting the number 12, is that something, is it policy coming out from the Browns? Is it a personal slight potentially to Shador? What was it? Is there any story behind him not having two going into rookie minicamp?
I think it's a whole lot of nothing. You know, look, I don't know when when DeAndre Carter picked his number. It's important to note that the veterans have been in the building since before the draft. The offseason program actually opened, I think, the week of the draft. So these guys have been in that building. There's a chance he might have even picked that number out when he came in to sign his contract. Maybe he picked it out before the draft. I have no idea when he would have picked out the number two. So I kind of feel like it's much ado about nothing. I think this is life with Shador Sanders, though. There's a lot of people who are following what's going on with the Browns because they are Shador Sanders fans, not necessarily because they're Browns fans. So they see that he doesn't get number two and they read into that. But I don't think there's really much more to it other than a veteran picked that number already. It wasn't available. I mean, Mason Graham didn't get number 55 because Ethan Posick has that number already. So I don't think it was anybody swooping in and taking two or the Browns sending any kind of message.
Should there have been almost an exception to the rule in your eyes made just because if you're the Browns, you know, the almost media circus that comes along with this, everybody's following along so he doesn't get two in the brand that he's built around the number. Is that a time where you'd consider an exception, or is that the type of thing that you don't want to do?
I don't think you want to do that at all, especially, I mean, given the fact that, first of all, Shador Sanders was a fifth round pick. He is, I mean, for all intents and purposes right now, your fourth string quarterback. So I don't know that you want to be sitting here and just making all kinds of accommodations just because he brings this big brand with him. I don't think you'd do that if you'd have picked him number two overall. I just think generally there's going to be a pecking order within a building that veterans are going to get to choose numbers. I mean, look at Abdul Carter. He took him forever to find a number because first he wanted Lawrence Taylor's number and he couldn't have it because it was retired. And then he wanted number 11, but he couldn't have that either. So, you know, it can be tough for these rookies to get their numbers.
Yeah, I don't know if going and trying to take LT and then Phil Simms' number is the way to go in New York. That feels like a little bit of an oversight.
Yeah. Hey,
does somebody not hand this kid like the list of numbers that are banned that he can't take so he doesn't come out publicly and give two very bad numbers to pick from?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he was looking at Malik Nabers. I know there was that whole thing about his number and it being retired or something. Maybe he was looking at that and thinking, well, maybe I can get some numbers that are retired. But I guess they weren't going to let him do that over there.
Yeah, feels like a little bit of an early time to go try it. But as we look at the quarterback position, Dan, is whoever the Browns stick there, are they set up in a position, do you think, with the roster and the way that it's built, to be successful with all the pieces around them? Or if, for instance, you stick a rookie quarterback in this, are they sort of climbing uphill?
I think you're in a good spot, but look, there's limitations to this roster, obviously, you know, especially at the receiver position. But I do think at the very least, you're going to be supported by a pretty good run game. The offensive line, if it's healthy and if DeJuan Jones can hold up at left tackle, should be pretty good. So there's at least some things there that can support you as a rookie quarterback. You do have a guy like Jerry Jeudy on the outside. You've got Njoku, and then, you know, hopefully Harold Fannin can pick things up quickly. So maybe you have a couple of good pass catching tight ends. So I think there's some limitations to this offense, especially at the playmaking, some of those playmaking roles. But at the very least, this team should be able to kind of build this thing around a pretty strong run game. And like I said, if that front holds up, if those guys stay healthy in front, then you should be pretty well protected. So I wouldn't expect anything spectacular from any of these quarterbacks, you know, especially the rookies, but I don't think this is necessarily a setup to fail situation.
Dan Lobby, Cleveland.com with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Obviously, rookie minicamp, it's something that's interesting. We get to see these guys on the field for the first time. It can also be something that everybody gets excited for and then quickly realizes that there's not a ton that you learn from it from the outside perspective. If you're the Browns and you're going in and looking at the two quarterbacks that you drafted, what are you looking to see during rookie minicamp to go out and prove to you that they have a chance to compete for the starting job?
I think a lot of it is stuff that's going to happen, you know, outside of what we get to see. I mean, a big piece of rookie minicamp is getting these guys in and sort of introducing them to NFL life and introducing them to what it's like just that day to day, you know, going through meetings, learning what it is now that this is your full-time job and what the expectations are from you. When they actually get out on the field, they'll probably do a lot of individual work and you can't see a ton. Now, I will say during Anthony Schwartz's rookie minicamp, he dropped a lot of passes just going through drills with like the wide receivers coaches. So every now and again, you'll see something that kind of makes you say, I don't know about that guy. But for the most part, I think a lot of what they're looking at is kind of behind the scenes stuff and the stuff we can't see. And just saying to guys, okay, this is what it's going to be like for you now. This is what your life is like now that you're in the NFL.
Dan, one of the interesting stories that came out over the weekend was from Dane Brugler of The Athletic. He threw out the idea that if Penn State quarterback Drew Aller would have entered this year's draft, that the Browns would have been interested in taking him at number two. Have we heard anything on this, either prior or after the report, and do we actually believe it to be true?
You know, look, I won't question Dane Brugler's reporting, but I guess I could see how the Browns would have been interested in him, but personally, I don't know. I want to see another year of Drew Aller before I'm willing to say that he's going to be able to come to the NFL and be a franchise quarterback. I think we saw improvement from him last year at Penn State, but I still think there were some concerning things that I didn't watch him and think, yes, that guy's a sure thing. You got to pick him, you know, number two overall. It was interesting. You know, I don't know 100% if it's true or not, but there is a reason the Browns kicked the can down the road a little bit on the quarterback position. They did pick up that extra first round pick because of that belief of what that draft class is next year. And kind of what went unsaid from Andrew Berry was also the quarterback position. So I'm sure Drew Aller would be in that mix when we get to next year if this team is still looking for a quarterback.
Call me crazy. If I'm an agent of a young quarterback in college and I hear a team go, you know, we might be considering you at the number two pick. Something tells me I'm not letting that kid go back to college.
Yeah. That's and you know, it felt like that sort of that door was open for Drew Aller, right? After he said he was going to go back to Penn State, then you started to hear like, you know what, maybe things could change, and it ended up not changing. So I'm kind of with you on that.
Getting away from the quarterback spot, Dan, as we look at other parts of the roster, obviously, when we look to running back, the most recent thing happening here is Jerome Ford taking a pay cut and remaining with the Cleveland Browns instead of what was basically laid out by Mary Kay over at Cleveland.com with you is it was pretty much take the pay cut or they were probably going to look to trade him.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
So as we look at that, what now with Jerome more solidified onto the roster, would you put the chances of Nick Chubb being back in Cleveland again?
It just feels less and less likely. And now that we're through the draft and we've kind of seen what their plan was, and they used those two picks on running backs, including Quinshon Judkins, who Andrew Berry said, I think at least twice he used this term when he, after they drafted him, bell cow. So they view Quinshon Judkins as that bell cow number one type of back. Obviously they had Dylan Sampson as well. And Jerome Ford is a nice piece in that running back room. And so now it kind of comes down to, even as a fan, you've got to ask yourself, like, yeah, maybe you want Nick Chubb to come back. And I think it would be cool if Nick Chubb were still a Cleveland Brown, but what exactly is his role if they bring him back? Because this is probably going to be Quinshon Judkins, Dylan Sampson, and Jerome Ford. So then is Nick Chubb coming back to be a mascot? I don't think he wants to do that. So it feels like we're at a point where maybe the two sides, just there's not a real defined reason for Nick to come back. Now, there's an injury, or if maybe they get into camp, they get into the preseason, and they aren't so sure about Quinshon as that number one guy, maybe you revisit that. But right now, it's just hard to see what that role on this team is for Nick.
You talk about Quinshon as well, which I think obviously we've talked about going back to the Kevin Stefanski system, and we know that that's predicated very heavily on being able to run the football. The other part of that equation is obviously the offensive line. It's not the sexiest question coming your way, Dan, but as we look at it, and one of the more puzzling things to me, just looking at the roster as a whole, was obviously what they decided to do at left tackle and the way they handled the situation. Is this just a ton of faith in DeJuan Jones and not adding a ton of tackles to the room or somebody to truly compete for that spot? Or am I missing something?
I don't think you're missing anything. And I think there's a few positions that I would like to have seen them address in the draft or address in free agency that they didn't, even if it was just to bring in a little more competition and less tackles on that list. But, you know, when you make that choice to take two running backs and then you essentially use four of your picks to take two quarterbacks, because you picked one at 94, then you traded two picks to pick another one, you kind of give up that opportunity to add some of those pieces. So left tackle was certainly one of those spots where it's always kind of felt like they wanted DeJuan Jones to be the guy there. But personally, I would have liked to have seen them add some competition, make him come in and, hey, DeJuan, this is your job, but you still kind of have to earn it. Now, they did sign, you know, a veteran in Cornelius Lucas, who I think will be, you know, pretty good swing tackle, but I don't see him competing and winning that job over DeJuan Jones. So it does feel like they kind of looked at this and said, we're going to let DeJuan Jones have this job, as opposed to maybe creating some more competition there.
Again, Dan Lobby with us here on the hotline. I guess as you look at like a Cornelius Lucas, and we know that Tevin Jenkins can kind of slide to the tackle position if he was required to, although playing more guard in Chicago than not. Is it, if DeJuan wasn't able to go or was proving to you that he wasn't able to be a starting left tackle, do you think either of those guys are viable long-term options as a backup?
I don't know if they're long-term options. I think they could get you through in a pinch if you needed to. If DeJuan gets hurt again, which is the other concern, right? He hasn't finished the season yet in his 2 years. He's ended both years on IR. So if he's unable to finish the season again or if he struggles, I think they can find some short-term options, and they sort of have this stable of guys that they've called on from the last couple of years when they've had some instability there, like a Jaron Christian or someone like that. They're good at kind of finding some of these guys to bring in and hold that spot down. But I think this is going to be one of those positions that it wouldn't surprise me if I think safety is another one. I think wide receiver could be one of these positions where we're sitting here next off season and the Browns still kind of need to address this. And it just kind of speaks to me how, I don't think they were going to fill every hole this off season. I think this was going to be sort of a 2 year plan through free agency and the draft to kind of start getting this roster back to where it was.
Browns go through and sign Deontay Johnson. They made it official yesterday. Obviously, the reports had come out earlier on than that. If you're setting expectations for Deontay Johnson heading into the Browns, where do you sort of place those?
This is one of those lottery tickets. I mean, it seems like there's very little risk financially on their end. Deontay Johnson, when he was with Pittsburgh a few years ago, he was kind of knocking on that door of being one of the better receivers in football. Now, obviously, he fell off last year. It seems like every team he went to ultimately didn't want him. So I think it's probably more likely than not that it's not going to work with Deontay Johnson, but this is just a very low risk kind of lottery ticket with him. And if he can, be half the receiver he was in Pittsburgh, that at least gives you a guy that you could use on Sundays again, in a receiving core that I think is really thin. And if guys start to get hurt, it gets really thin, really fast. So I don't mind it. I'm not real optimistic it's going to work out. But again, this is the kind of low-risk swing you don't mind taking.
If it does work out, let's say because I think that we can all agree it's sort of the locker room issues that come into play of whether or not he wants to be there. But if they smooth those over, he's happy to be in Cleveland. Where do you put sort of the upside for Deontay Johnson? Wide receiver what in this room?
I mean, if we're talking very, very top upside, you're talking two or three probably, right? Because you got Jerry Jeudy. But then after that, I think there's a bunch of questions. I think it's more a reflection of the room than it is maybe what Deontay Johnson can still be. They're putting a lot of faith in Cedric Tillman, who showed flashes last year, but then he missed 6 games with a concussion. You're looking at, are they going to – Michael Woods is coming back, David Bell. I'm sure I'm going to forget somebody. Jamari Thrash is back. This is a very thin wide receiver room. So, I guess Deontay Johnson could be wide receiver two. I wouldn't expect it to happen, but if he's close to what he was at his peak in Pittsburgh, I suppose that's there.
Dan, I'll get you out of here on this one. You mentioned how thin the wide receiver room is. Should we be expecting more moves to come from the Browns by the time that they really get started in full swing here in the offseason and getting ramped up for the regular season at that position? And maybe what are the size of those moves? What do they actually look like?
I always feel like the roster is pretty much close to complete at this point, but then I'll never forget a few rookie minicamps ago when I think it was a Friday night of rookie minicamp, they traded a fifth or something for Za'Darius Smith. So, Andrew Berry is always full of surprises. He's always looking around. Now, that was a different time. I mean, that was when the Browns believed they were in a window where they could maybe go win and win big. Obviously, they made the Deshaun trade, all of that. So, I don't think they're looking at it like that. I do think they're setting this up in a lot of ways to see young guys like Cedric Tillman and see those young edge rushers, see DeJuan Jones. So I don't know if there's a big move on the horizon for them to go get a guy, but if the right guy is available for a day three pick, say a young guy who's affordable, I think Andrew Berry is going to at least be interested. So I would just never rule anything out. But I do think this roster kind of as it is right now is set up to kind of take a look at some of these young guys, get some of these draft picks in and get them experience, and really just kind of see what happens this year.
Dan, as always, good stuff. I appreciate you setting aside the time and talking to us during the Cavs playoff game, of all things. So
yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Yep, absolutely, Dan. Dan Lobby, Cleveland.com, with us there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Always good stuff from Dan. We'll react to what he had to say as well coming back here.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.